What is up, Salt community? We are back again with episode 9 of the Monochrome podcast. We have Kaylee with us and Caitlin. It's the two KKs with us today. But we've got a very exciting episode. We're going to do some listening now, a really inspiring and cool interview with Jenny McGrew, who runs the Wilco Instagram page. And then, as always, a creative challenge with Kaylee as well. But before we get into it, how are we doing, ladies? Everything going well?
You know, I feel like Kaylee and, like, we need good nicknames for each other so we can intro each other with personality. Like, Kaylee Cash Money, you know, something like that.
Cash Money.
Bonus money.
I'll take it. That's my job at Salt, right? Yeah. So I'll take Cash Money.
But we're doing good. I'm doing cool. Good.
Well, oh, good. That's good. We love it when we're doing good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kaylee, what are we listening to? Or more specifically, what are you listening to?
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Honestly, this album came out in 2022, so it's a little bit older. But thanks to Spotify and the Daylist, which if you've seen a Daylist, the names are so out of pocket, but it brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
But this album came back up, or a song on the album rather, came up on one of my Daylists, and it is The Field by Christine DeMarco. And it is one of her solo albums. She is a Bethel music artist, and she has done stuff. She released a single recently called Death is Hollow, I think is what it's called. But that song makes me want to run laps in my living room and wave some flags for all my Pentecostals out there. No, just kidding. But this album particularly is just such a beautiful album. And there's two songs in particular. One of them is what came up on my day list. It's called What If Jesus? And it is probably the most conversation-starting, convicting songs I've heard in a really long time. Basically, the whole premise of what if Jesus is about, like, what if everything I thought was wrong? Or what if, like, I've spent my whole life at the feet of Jesus and someone who's newly saved sits at the head of the table versus me? Like, is that okay if Jesus gets his full reward? So it's really beautiful. As a songwriter, I really appreciate the lyrics, but I suggest you guys go listen to it. The Field by Christine DeMarco. Also, You Are My Country is a song on that album that she does with Gable Price and Friends, which if you're like a pop punk elder millennial, you'll appreciate Gable Price and Friends.
Ooh, so that's me. That.
Yes, that is you. You would actually love Gable Price and Friends, I think. But that's what I'm listening to. So
I love it's that. Good. I was just reading an article talking about how music, and especially worship music, has gotten so boring. Like, people don't try anymore. It's too repetitive. The lyrics aren't challenging enough. And it's just made for congregations to easily learn and repeat back. So I love that you're coming to us with music that starts conversations, that's thought-provoking, that, like, convicts your heart a little bit, because I love that that's just the polar opposite of what this article was talking about.
I don't know what worship music Caitlin listens to, but I feel like she's always saying it never hits, and I'm like, we listen to different music.
Girl, I'd be crying in the club. I'm like driving down the street.
I know.
Weeping.
I love my worship music.
Well, I was in those punk emo days for so long that you guys are like introducing me to good Christian music again, and I appreciate that. I love this segment reason.
I love that. L Acoustics, a leader in audio technology, offers cutting-edge sound solutions for houses of worship. Their Alisa Immersive Hyper-Real Sound transports congregations beyond the ordinary with an immersive soundscape, putting everyone inside the message. From cozy to grand-scale sanctuaries, L Acoustics tailors sound designs to meet your specific congregation or worship space, ensuring quality meets affordability. With L Acoustics, you'll never have to sacrifice sound quality. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes. Okay, well, speaking of worship and good worship music, we are going to jump into an interview that Luke had with Jenny McGrew. She is up in Canada. She runs the Wilco page, which is the Worship Leader Collective Instagram page. She's always on there encouraging people. It's great. You should go give it a follow. But yeah, go ahead, take a listen.
All right, Jenny, welcome to the Monochrome Podcast. So excited to have you.
So good to be here, you guys. This is fun. Thanks for having us.
So give our family of listeners just a little bit of a glimpse about Wilco. Where did it come from? What's kind of that origin story? A little bit of your own story.
Yeah, Wilco is also known as Worship Leaders Collective. It's just a bit of a mouthful, so I kind of got it in my head. I actually tried out, like, just, you know, as a test to see if the community would grab Wilco, and they actually did really quickly. But
I love it.
Yeah, it was really... it was really birthed out of a heart for just to help people and to help them get connected. I'd been part of big church and then part of small church and then part of medium church. And after coming out of, you know, just being involved in big church, I was just really aware of, you know, the resources that I did have in that season of big church that I'd always wished that we had had in the smaller church setting that we didn't have. And it was just like, how can we accomplish this? How can we achieve this? So it was actually something I carried in my heart for 10 years, 10 years prior. So this was launched in 2015. But 10 years prior, I wanted to start some sort of website on the World Wide Web to, like, connect worship leaders in my young little, like, 20-year-old mind. And but anyway, so it started as a Facebook group, 2015, literally, you guys, it was, you know, multiple services, it's a bigger church. And it was right before the 9 a.m. And I wrote a friend of mine who was running a keyboard community at the time when everyone was starting Facebook groups. It was kind of a thing. And I said, hey, is there a worship leaders group? And he said, no, that's a really good idea, though. You should start that. And I'm like, okay. Like, literally didn't know anything, but didn't realize, like, in seed form, I'd been carrying this, like, for 10 years, thinking yeah. It was going to be some sort of website, but I shelved it. And so then, yeah, he started the group. He was great. He helped get it catalyzed, you know, onboarded people from his community into our community. And it was a terrible name. It was like Omnisphere Worship Sounds Worship Leaders. Like, it was like a terrible name when it first started. And I think it was about a year later, I'm like, this needs a new name. But yet with a terrible name, it's proof that with a terrible name, like, if God wants something to happen, it will happen.
And it is not a terrible yeah. name. It's actually like a great SEO now, search term.
Well, now, yeah. Now worship, so, you know, we called it Worship Leaders Collective. This was back when nothing was a collective. Now I feel like everything is a collective. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Why did I call it Worship Leaders Collective?
Trendsetter.
People copy
here,
the name. I don't even care that they copy the name, whatever. But we're not going to change it, right? Like, it's like, you know, obviously we're not McDonald's. But, you know, McDonald's isn't going to change its name. We're not changing our name. It's fine. It works. People know it. Anyway, so I launched in 2015. And It just really began to grow. And by the grace of God, I've had a lot of people, you know, ask, you know, how did, you know, what was your strategy and what was your plan? I'm like, I didn't have a strategy or a plan. I just showed up. And it just seemed like the right moment at the right time, asking the right people, the right questions. So I can't really take credit for it. So, you know, what I would say to people is, you know, whatever God tells you to do, just have the courage to do it and don't overthink, you know, what's my 5-year or 10-year plan. I didn't have a 5-year or 10-year plan. I just wanted to help people. That was it. We just wanted to help people. And one of the beautiful things about Worship Leaders Collective. So collectively, I think we're at about 60,000 over all of our platforms, maybe a little bit more because our Instagram's starting to grow. But it wasn't ever to be centered around me. And I really don't like being the center of attention.
Great, JT, we need a whole new guest now.
It's just never a place I want to be, but it seems like the Lord's always pushing me out, like Gideon, like to the front, and which is fine. Keeps me humble and keeps me dependent on him. But it was really birthed with the heart where the everyone gets to help everyone. And so, you know, it's 100 countries from around the world. So you got, like, we have a young man who's, like, in a village in Africa, not even kidding. Paul Balash and I have been trying to get him to Canada. The Canadian government is not letting him in. So we're trying. Yeah, it's like a prayer. It's all in prayer before the Lord. But, you know, so here's this young man from Africa who can help a mega church. So, like, Saddleback Worship or Gateway, you know, who's part of our community, or these other people, you know, so everybody can just help everyone. And it just seems like the kingdom of God, and that's how God designed it, you know, and that we're just the body of Christ, and we're not out there trying to be anything or be anybody. We're just out helping serve one another in love and help move the kingdom of God forward. So that's a little bit.
I love that.
Who we are.
I love it so much. And I resonate personally with that, Jenny, just from a lot of the same sort of thoughts I had in early days of SALT, as we were sort of starting this thing and we felt like God was saying, hey, do this. We're like, but we don't want to make this about me. And, you know, do we really need more of this? And it's just amazing how God sort of, you know, will use individuals to sort of create something way bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just need a face to sort of, you know, maybe trust it and link a little bit to it, but it really does grow something far beyond you. So I just, as a champion of what you've done and sort of the impact you guys have around the globe, I'm just so excited that you said yes to that simple little ask.
Yeah. But you guys, you too. Like,
let's jump in.
It's all multiplied, right? Because then, you know, our sum becomes greater than our individual parts. So God is cool like that.
I love that. I love a lot of like the stuff that you've been putting out lately and a lot of the conversations that you've been having on your lives every Thursday, mm-hmm. I think.
At nine
has been around worship culture. And I think that's something that, especially nowadays, there's so much complexity with that. And it can mean so many different things to so many different people. And so my question is, like, when you hear the term worship culture, what comes to your mind? And and why does it matter? Like, why does worship culture matter? Why can't we just play some songs and then, you know, and be done, and however it goes, it goes.
Yeah. And I think it's where people have to really ask themselves, like, what do you want? Right. And, you know, asking the question, like, what is worship? You know, we could all sit around and we could have 1 million definitions of what worship is, you know, like worship is surrender. Worship is a conversation with the Lord. Worship is our everyday life before the Lord. And, you know, I love the scripture out of Romans 12, verse 1 in the Message, like, you know, take your everyday ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. And, you know, just talking about, like, that's the least that we can do for everything that Jesus has done for us, right? And that's the gist of what it's talking about there. But again, going back to, like, what do we want? And, you know, there's a couple of things going on in the body of Christ. Like, you know, there's this true, you know, worshipers in spirit and in truth, where Christ is really at the center, and we're just hiding ourselves in Christ, and, you know, whatever he wants us to do, like, we're just with all our heart, we're purposing to do that. We're not perfect, you know, thank God for his grace, thank God for his mercy. But then there's another culture too that I think can look like worship culture, but if we're not careful, we're really at the center of that, and we're kind of applying what we want. So we like this scripture, so we're going to apply this one. We like what God said here, so we're going to apply that. We like this, but we don't want to tithe, or we don't want to do this or that. You know, I'm not here to talk about tithe, but I'm just saying, like, you know, things that we can struggle with, or, you know, like, I don't want to go into all, like, the hot topics of things, but, you know, but we don't want to do that. And, you know, like, I just, worship culture, it's not cheap. It's costly. It's very, very costly. Yeah. So, you know, when they're saying, like, take, you know, when Paul was saying, I beseech you therefore, brothers, you know, this is New King James Version now, like, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord, like a worship culture to me is creating a culture of, like, we really understand that we are living sacrifices for the Lord. And if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, well, first of all, we wouldn't be here, because before we were born, he knew us, right? Yeah. But we wouldn't be alive today without his grace and mercy. And out of everything that he's done for us, the least that we can do is give ourselves back to him. So, you know, worship culture to me is us giving God, you know, he gave us, you know, his life for ours, our life now for him. You know, and that's, to me, that's like a worship culture. So, you know, the songs that we sing, like, people could talk about worship being a form of songs. Absolutely. I think on a pie chart, it's a small portion of what, like, to me, like, what worship really is. But the songs that we sing are really birthed out of the life that we live, right? For Jesus Christ. And you know, just practically. So that's a little bit about worship culture. It comes from, it's a French word, and it comes from the word cultivate. And that's got to be tended, tilled, like any garden. It's got to be, you know, fed, it's got to be nurtured, it's got to be watered. It's, you know, so, and culture takes time. Culture takes a lot of time. you know? So you have all these individual parts in your team and your church. Like, I don't just think of worship culture on our worship team. I feel like every Sunday, like, I'm like a chief musician in the house. And, you know, but it's like we're teaching, you know, we're teaching, constantly teaching worship culture, whether it's through the singing or whether it's through, you know, teaching families. I'm a senior pastor at a church too, but, you know, teaching parents how to raise their kids, or, you know, working with the next generation, you know, that we're just creating culture everywhere. But it takes time and it's expensive. It is expensive to serve the Lord, and it should cost us our life. So a lot of times, you know, people want worship culture, but to want worship culture and to have worship culture are two different things. And so that I would just ask people, like, what do you want? And it takes time, but through the grace of God, we'll get there. And we're never going to arrive this side of heaven. You know, that the point is that we're always striving, and, you know, I don't want to use that word striving. It can be a bad connotation, but purposing to be more like the Lord tomorrow, more like him than I was today. Right. So I don't know if I answered that very well, but
I love that. And I love the analogy of this idea that it does have to be tended to and tilled and cultivated. Because I mean, that's true. And even just in the body of Christ, like, stagnant things, as Christine Kane talks a lot about, you know, naturally drift and naturally sort of grow away. Mm-hmm. I watched this video the other day just about a little boy asking his dad, you know, hey, is God very big? And he pointed up in the sky and said, oh, well, do you see that airplane? And, you know, is that airplane big? And he's like, no, that airplane's small. And then he, like, took him to an airport and it's like, you know, stood him right in front of a plane. And he's like, is this plane big? He's like, this plane is huge. You know, and it's like, yeah, the closer we get to God, the bigger he's going to be in our lives. And I think there's so much truth to that, right? That, like, the stronger your culture, honestly, whether intentional or not, is the more you've poured in to your culture.
That's right.
A worship leader who's willing to just sort of be constantly very present with their team and not removed, and seeing team as just sort of another byproduct of ministry or something like that. You know, they are the very wheel, not just a cog in the wheel, you know?
And practically, like, just to give a practical, like, how do you build, like, worship culture? If we're going to just, you know, specifically talk about, you know, our worship teams, is something that we do on our, for our rehearsals. I was just talking about this to a crew about an hour ago online, but, we practice our songs, like, we learn the music, but we are spending a lot of our times, you guys, worshiping at a rehearsal, because I always say, like, I don't want Sunday, like, Sundays is an overflow of who we already are. This isn't like the first time we thought about worshiping. And truthfully, worship doesn't start in the first song on Sunday. We're joining in a worship song that's already taking place in heaven.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a dress rehearsal.
No, totally. Right. But so, you know, we purpose to spend, you know, a lot of our time just worshiping, or just, you know, if we feel something's on something, you know, even if we're learning a song, like, we just, like, press pause. Let's just worship, you know, like, what is this moment for? And that begins to ignite, you know, like, we got 19-year-olds starting on our team, you know, 20-year-olds, and that stirs something in their heart, because we were all created for worship, you know? And then suddenly when this, you know, when it starts growing in everyone's heart, like, this hunger and this desire for the Lord and this growing in our relationship with the Lord, you know, who everyone is individually is who we become corporately. And that, you know, that culture begins to, you know, create momentum, and it's beautiful, you know, it's beautiful to get, like, I think as Mother Teresa says, like, I can't do what you can do, and you can't do what I can do, but together we can make something beautiful for the Lord. So.
Yeah. Now, when you think about, like, a worship culture at a church, what do you feel like some of the biggest challenges that teams or leaders may be facing as they try and build that or cultivate that?
I can say in Canada, like, I think the average church is under 100. I feel blessed that we're about 450. So I feel like we're like a mega church in Canada, we're not. But I think there's a lot of defeat, actually, you guys. Like, I know that, you know, I have a bit of a vantage point of being involved with a lot of churches, like, you know, in North America. But I can say in Canada, I think a lot of teams are feeling very defeated, because there's not a lot of, you know, there's just not a lot of people to work with. So I think that's it's a big stumbling block for
and you're
people.
Saying because
so,
the church is small, your worship church team is may small. Not have depth.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that they're seeing is, like, for example, like, we're a church of 400, 450. like our worship team is not big for the size of our church, you know? And one of them is post-COVID, like people just aren't coming back, yeah. You know, like they're coming back or they're just sitting there. That's like another conversation, maybe later, maybe never, you know, it's time to start contributing. Don't just, you know, come on, it's time to start contributing. And, you know, maybe I'll post about that soon, but I want to do it in kindness, you know? But I think it's numbers. So, you know, something I think I'd posted on Wilco last year, like, or last week, was big or small, like God is in it all. And sure, that's encouraging in the moment, but what does that mean in a year? That's great, yeah. Jenny, big or small, God is in it all. But like, how does that help my team grow? And, you know, you just got to start with one, and then you pour into two, and then you pour into three. And there's seasons where you just got to work with what you got and give thanks to Jesus all along the way, and just trust the words of Jesus when he said that he would build his church, because we have to be very careful that we strive. And like I was saying about the story of Worship Leaders Collective, like it's living proof that it wasn't the best plans of men and women that built this. You know, we could have the best plans of trying to build our worship teams. But ultimately it's the Lord that's going to build it. So, you know, be faithful, do all the things that you can. You can ask people for help. But, you know, you want to build a team. You're not just looking for me, you know, just like someone is trying my guitar. Is that you want to build a team, right? Because it's a team that helps build culture. You can pay people, sure. You know, I know that's like a real common thing in the States. Sure, you can pay people. But at the end of the day, what do you want? It comes back to that question, like, do you want it just like this paid worship team that's not really sacrificing? And then where's the anointing if there's no sacrifice? Mm. Or, you know, I want to say greater anointing. I want to be careful with that, because yes, they're, you know, I'm sure they're very anointed, but you know, like where's that greater anointing that comes from the cost? So, you know, there's just that grit in those seasons of grit and grace where you got to work with what you have. You got to trust the Lord and just be faithful to build into the one and the two and the three. So good things take time, you guys, and great things take even longer. So that's just a bit of a short answer.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, just a follow up, I remember sitting with a pastor in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
I don't know, probably 10 years ago. And mm-hmm. he'd come from Texas. And he was a pastor of a church, fairly large church, associate pastor in Houston, I think he said. And, you know, I asked mm-hmm. him, I said, and his church was maybe 150 people. And I said, so what are the differences, right? Everybody says like Texas and Seattle are like night and day different.
What are the differences?
And he may have been speaking a little bit, Jenny, into like what you just dropped for our community. And I'm sure that there's someone listening to this who may be resonating with what you're saying of like, yeah, just there's not a lot of people to work with. And one of the things he said that has forever stuck with me is he said, well, if I had to choose again and the Lord was gracious to me, I would choose to be a pastor of a church of 100 in Seattle every day of my life than a pastor, associate pastor of a church of 10,000 in Houston, Texas, because I want to be a part of a church who people come and they are sold out. They're in.
They're sold out, you know? And they're contributing, you know, like they're
it's not the social norm just to go to church, right? It's like, no, this is like, I have given my life to Jesus. And as you've talked about earlier, like it's costing me something. It's Do you see that in those that you can cultivate in smaller teams?
Totally, because you're constantly through the sacrifice, the individual sacrifice, and you're seeing and you're aware of it, is that like you're constantly breaking bread together, if I can say it like that, you know, through the sacrifice, through the surrender, even through some of the tears, right? Like weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And then, you know, through those shared experiences, you also get to celebrate the fruit of what you were able to partner, you know, co-labor, you know, with in the Lord. So I totally resonate with what he's saying. I can think back to a season in my life. We were associates at a small church in Victoria. I don't know if you guys are aware, like Vancouver Island. It's beautiful, Victoria over there.
Not far from Seattle.
Yeah, not far from Seattle. You can take that ferry straight there. And I can remember being so frustrated. My husband's parents were pastoring the church at the time, and Like if there was like negative numbers on the worship team, that's what we had. And I share this story often, but like, you know, like you there's a couple of stories in the Bible, right? Of the loaves and the fish. I'm like, guys, I didn't have a loaf and a fish. I had a crumb and a scale. And I remember like coming home from one practice specifically, and I just cried, but it was like complaining crying. And like, I could just the Lord so tenderly just corrected me. He said, you know, what you give thanks for will multiply. And so what I began to do was like shift, and I just began to give thanks to the Lord for his provision, because the teams that the Lord has given us today, not tomorrow, but today, is his provision. And what are we going to do with that? So are we going to complain about it? Because complaining is just going to shrink it. Hmm, and we're not speaking good. Well of what the Lord has provided. But what the Lord has given us today, if we give thanks for it, I believe, like even through seeing the story of the loaves and the fish, that what we give thanks for will multiply. So I begin to, you know, just put the practices of the Word of God and follow what Jesus did. That's always a good, let me add that, do what Jesus did. What would Jesus do? And, you know, just begin to give thanks. And I'm telling you, there was such a turnaround. The shift was in my heart. And I began to just trust the Lord and take him at his word and just enact, you know, just gratitude and thanks, and begin to view the team as not an obstacle, but an opportunity. Begin to invest in them in it with my whole heart, and not expecting something from them, but just wanting to pour into them. And my expectation was no longer on them or the church, but it was in the Lord. And I look back on that season, you guys, and it was just such a sweet season. We wrote more songs in that season. We probably sang in that church probably 99% of our own music.
Wow.
And 1% of the others. And not that we were arrogant or like we can't sing songs at the whole. It wasn't about that at all.
But it was like it a was natural just about, overflow.
It totally was. And I look back at that season, you know, post my heart shifting that night. And it's just a sweet, just the sweetest moments of worship that I will forever treasure in my heart. So, you know, we can look at things as an obstacle, or we can look at it as an opportunity. Mm. But if we give thanks for it, it will give us eyes to see, and it gives us a way forward.
I love that. So I love too, because your response to those challenges, I literally have it in front of me. Mm-hmm. The next question is, how can worship leaders and techs overcome these challenges? And I think that mm-hmm. only reveals in my heart, like my tendency is like, okay, what are the practical, like what are my three steps, you know, to build my team and to build my culture, and like, what tech do I need to get? Who do I need to talk? You know, like, how can I solve this on my own? And you just naturally went to that response of like, no, I need to get on my knees and pray to God and be thankful, and he will transform it, and he will change it, and he will bring me the people I need. And I think just in general, as people, that's our tendency to go to like, all right, what YouTube video do I need to watch? You know, and it's like, God doesn't work. Like, God does work in YouTube videos. I'm not saying that, but God works beyond YouTube videos and beyond like the tangible steps that we think we need to take to fix something. Mm-hmm. So
that's really totally. He has tailor-made plans for each and every one of us. So we can subscribe to all the things, because there's just a whole lot of help out there. There's a whole lot of information out there. But I'd say the other thing that we have to, like I just said, like there's a tailor-made plan for us from the Lord. But we also have to guard our hearts against comparison. Because like, for example, like you mentioned Houston. So immediately I'm thinking of Lakewood Church. And like, if I'm trying to compare our worship team to, you know, Lakewood worship, or, you know, Lakewood Music, I think is what they call themselves. Like, and that model, it's just not going to fit. Like, it's not going to fit. It's not going to work. Like, even just like wishing for that would just be ridiculous. Like, it would just look so ridiculous. And for our heart just to be like, God, what do you want? Like, just ask the question, you know, just like with no comparison. So I want to just caution people, like, careful what you look at, you know, because it will get into your heart, and what you look at, you will walk towards. So make sure you're looking at Jesus Christ, and you'll begin to walk, you know, unknowingly, but also intentionally, as you keep your eyes on him, into his plans and purposes. And if you surrender your heart, if we just stay humble and grateful, he will download by his spirit, you know, the schematics, the tailor-made plans, like I've said a few times, that he has for us. There's always a way forward, but it really does start with a heart of gratitude. Yeah. Keeps our heart right.
We have to get quiet enough our own ideas and our own dreams to say, hey, Lord, maybe I need to allow you to be louder than everything else that's in my mind right now.
Totally. And trust him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I think there's a lot of worship leaders too, and this is kind of pivoting a little bit, but who maybe want to step into this, but maybe they've got some pressure from other people who like other leadership or other church leaders above them that want things to look a certain way, or that are disappointed that things aren't moving in a certain direction, or the culture isn't how they think it should look. And they want to kind of, as you said, there's this temptation to just quickly grab, you know, something you've seen or something you've heard, from another church or from another community or whatever, and try it on and think that's going to be your quick fix for whatever it is you're struggling with. And the, so I guess my question is what would be your encouragement to those leaders who are maybe in that between a rock and a hard place of trying to slowly move and slowly find what that culture is supposed to look like and what God wants to do through them, but is facing kind of this opposition from other leadership or teams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it starts with really understanding the mission of your church and also really understanding the cores and values of your church. And perhaps if you've never drawn up cores and values for your worship team today, if you're hearing that for the first time, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Also, I would say submit them to your pastor first before you implement them into your team. But I'm just slipping that in there to say this, is that you have to have a good relationship with your senior pastor. And for some, that comes very naturally. I know that some senior pastors, I have the vantage now that my husband and I co-lead our church and I'm worship pastor. So I don't buck up with that as much as maybe I used to in some seasons. I feel very blessed though. Like it's not really been a strong issue for me, but I have a lot of friends where it has been an issue. So like, you know, we're senior pastors are very relational. So it's very easy, you know, to build relationship and have these conversations. Some aren't so much, you know, so you're always trying to like come at different angles, but I would say do your utmost to foster and to build a strong relationship with your senior pastor and ask them what their vision is, you know, like ask them what they see and serve their vision and get under that. And as you build, you know, relationship with them, that you'll also gain favor with them in a very holy way. So they'll begin to trust you and, you know, and they'll begin to ask you like, what's your vision for this? You know, like how can we partner together, you know, with this, in this together. And, but first of all, it does start with just kind of coming under, you know, the vision of the church and partnering with your pastor, seeing what his or her, could be her, her vision is. So you're not kind of just like riding off into the sunset, because if you have your senior pastor on board with you, things are going to probably go a lot smoother for you because you're going to have them on your side. And it, you know, everything in our church too, like we're talking about worship culture initially, you know, they've got to want a worship culture too. And that kind of like flows down and that like paves the way already for you just to be able to, you know, step more freely into what God's called you to be. But I would say you really got to foster that relationship with your senior pastors and with your leaders so that you're just really, you know, submitted and you're surrendered under their vision. I'm not saying like it's their way or the highway, you know, but I'm just talking really about, you know, relationship and partnering with them, and will gain favor with you and they'll help you. They will help you. You know, I believe that they will help you, to, you know, fulfill what you're also, what the Lord's put in your heart. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jenny, we serve in the SALT community, worship leaders, of course. I actually think we do serve a little bit of a small carving out of executive pastors and senior leaders potentially. But I think a large majority of our community is also those who serve in technology or creativity, communications. Talk just in the little bit of time we have left about maybe the importance of a relationship, not just between senior pastor and as you as a worship leader, but some of these other creative team leaders, whether it's a production lead or a technical lead or communications. Can you kind of speak a little bit to that relationship?
Yeah. Like you mean like them together or them with the worship team?
Yeah. Them with the worship team. Like, you know, how does all of this sort of come together?
Yeah. I think it's also shaping the narrative that initially, like we're definitely working on that in our team. I remember speaking on this. I'm part of Worship Innovators and I spoke a couple years ago on worship culture, actually at Worship Innovators. Cause like you guys, it was tech and it's a tech conference. I'm their resident worship pastor. And, but anyway, so how we frame it in our church is I'm like, we're all the worship team. So yeah, there might be production, there might be visual, like there might be all these other things, but we are all collectively the worship team. Like I can't do what I'm doing without you. And you can't do, you know, what you're doing without me, that we need to understand that we have a shared vision and we have shared purpose and shared value, greater value, when we work together. That just helps initially. Also give some purpose and just create value within those teams. But it also helps protect against silos, because if we have silos, now we're not working together. We're working against each other. You know, like we're not working with each other. We're not working for each other. But I think it's just really important for tech team. And this is something that I spoke at 2 years ago in Chicago. But I said, this isn't just something that we do, like, or this is, I spoke to tech guys directly. It's usually guys that are in tech. I don't want to single them, yep. But for, there's a
you're
lot
not
of
offending
guys.
Us.
Yeah. But like, I'm like, this isn't just something that you do. Like, this is who you are, you know, like this is an act of worship that you're doing for the Lord. And you need to see this as worship, because if you don't see this as worship and you're worshiping the Lord through this, you're going to see the people, the crew on the team as the worship team, and you're not part of that. You know, like, well, those are the worshipers and I'm the tech person. It's like, no, we are all the worshipers and we are all part of the worship team serving the, you know, we might have separate individual parts, but we are all part of the body. And our purpose is to see the name of Jesus Christ, in this case, lifted up on Sunday or Saturday together in the corporate gathering. But I think that's a really important narrative to speak into and to shape. And again, like worship culture, that takes time, because if people don't see themselves that way, you got to help that, you know, so you got to just keep speaking it. You just got to keep speaking it until they get it, especially with guys. I can find that, you know, like we got a lot of these like older guys that are starting to come into production. Our son, Josiah, he's 21 and he's running production. He's doing a really great job leading it. But we have all these new guys like starting in production and they don't really see themselves that way. So it's kind of fun. I look at it as a bit of like this challenge and this holy adventure. And they love it. So like a lot of them are now coming to rehearsal. And so like when we do devotions and everything with like the worship team, you know, you can see me doing that in quotations. I have them part of that. So like they have to share devotion, or they are going to have to pray, or they're going to have to share their thoughts too. So it's not just the guys on the platform. It's all of us together. And then through that, that actually makes the biggest shift into helping get rid of those silos and helping us, you know, all see ourselves as like we are one. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to watch. It's pretty awesome to see. So
I coach a lot of technical teams that don't feel like they have a lot of their sort of stuff together, not just spiritually, mm-hmm. but even technically. And one of the big things I say is, are you rehearsing when the worship team rehearses? Or do you just sort of come in after they're done their rehearsal and then you do your thing? And a big piece of that is not only just to sort of encourage them to understand you're part of that same team. So like you play an instrument, whether it be audio board or maybe it's lyrics or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, you're running an instrument very much like Jenny is as she's leading worship, but you're actually helping the congregation lead or sing with Jenny, not just watching her lead. And so
that's right.
But even more, I love that you and Paul Balazs, you mentioned him earlier, and I got a chance to travel with him a while back, and he talks so much about this, right? Like he would tell an intern or someone who wants to be a part of the band, he'd be like, yeah, just come to a couple of rehearsals and kind of just see our culture. And what he was really doing under the scene was saying like, I want to see your heart before I figure out your heart. And I feel like the same thing can be done with tech team of just saying, hey, just show up. Would you just sort of be available and be ready? And that way, when it is worship, it's not your first time at this. This is a chance for you to sort of be free and worship.
So good. So good.
I love that. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for your time and your insight and your wisdom and for loving on our community. If people who are listening, they want to come check out Wilco, they want to come figure out what you're doing and connect with you, what is the best way for them to go about doing that?
Yeah, you can find us on our website, worshipleaderscollective.com. Email, hello@worshipleaderscollective.com. If anyone uses email anymore, JT does, for the record. JT still does.
I do.
He's the only one. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. But Instagram or Facebook, just look up Worship Leaders Collective. You will see us there. We are loud. And, you know, we're just trying to do our – I'm saying we're loud because – I don't write these little mousy posts. It's just usually like, bam, you know, I'll tell you, JT, I'll send you a text later. What someone told me yesterday, it was super fun. I love men. Men is so fun. I love being a woman in ministry. It's just the best. But that's how you can find us. And, you know, guys, we're just all, God bless you guys as you help move the kingdom of God forward and help every worship community and team in the body of Christ that's really doing their utmost to help move the kingdom of God forward. And I just pray that these are continued days of grace and strength and even courage just to arise, that we wouldn't grow weary, you know, in these times. But, you know, as we just keep our eyes on Jesus, that we would continue to have courage and strength to walk forward together. So God bless you guys.
I agree more. Thanks, Jenny.
Okay. God bless you.
What a great conversation with Jenny. That was super inspiring. Great conversation about worship culture and how to really encourage that and grow that in your church. If you have any questions about that further, that's kind of sparked some ideas or thoughts, we actually have an email that you can email into. It's in the show notes. And if you ever have any thoughts or questions, concerns, things you need help with, shoot us an email. We'd love to help you out. But something that's even more helpful than emailing us, actually quite a bit more helpful, hopefully, is our SALT masterclasses. So this year we are hosting some SALT masterclasses with some incredible, incredible people.
Oh, yeah.
They are long 4-hour sessions of just breaking things down. All the time we hear people saying the workshops, like I wish we could be here longer. Like I wish they were all 4 hours long. And so the masterclass is your opportunity to come to SALT, hear from a speaker or speakers for 4 hours and really, really deep dive into stuff and ask your questions. So go to salt2024.com to check those out and learn more about the different topics that we're covering, the different speakers. And you can also sign up there. So up next, we have our favorite, absolute awesome favorite segment with Kaylee, the Creative Challenge.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, I'm actually so excited about this because it was inspired by a meme, which I think a lot of things in our lives are inspired by memes. But they are have y'all seen the memes that are like slams laptop shut until Monday, or for yes. people who work in the church, it's like slams laptop shut until Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And they're so funny. But it really sparked this along with, I was sitting in church a couple weeks ago and they talked about like the tactile sensation of like having an actual Bible. And so it sparked something in me to go analog. So that is my creative challenge for the SALT community, is to go analog. If you read your Bible on your phone, crack open your real Bible. Like, when is the last time you touched your real Bible? Or if you are on the media team, or like if you're a videographer, do your storyboarding on an actual poster board. Like, you might have to go to Walmart, Target, Hobby Lobby, Michaels.
Do they still sell those?
I don't actually know the answer to that question. I have like the brown butcher paper that you can like pull down. That's what I
have.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Because it's
yeah.
like aesthetic, you know?
it's grainy.
So that is it. So storyboard on paper, take notes on paper, read your paper Bible, which is so funny that that's even a creative challenge. Makes me feel kind of old, if I can be honest. So that's it. And then take a picture. I would love to see the notes you take. I would love to see your Bibles. I'm a big Bible nerd. I have probably like 10 in my house and they're all different versions, translations, but I would love to see it. So take a picture, hashtag SALT Creative Challenge, and we cannot wait to see it.
I love that creative challenge. I was just reading this week, actually, that for the first time in 100 years, the general average IQ is going down. And most studies are specifically attributing it to lack of like handwriting and tactile things. Could we do everything on our computers? We don't take notes, you know, on anything physical. And so there's something special about doing things in a more physical way.
For sure.
That raises literally raises your IQ.
Bonus points if it's cursive.
Definitely. Exactly.
Yeah. I haven't written a cursive since fifth grade.
Yeah, me either. So anyway, if you guys have been listening for a couple weeks now, or this is your second episode or more, if this is your first episode, ignore what I'm saying. But if you've been listening for a couple weeks, clearly you're getting something out of this, which we love and is super encouraging. If you would go give us a 5-star review, if you're on Spotify, you scroll up. If you're on Apple Music, you scroll down, or podcasts. That goes a long way for telling us that we're doing a good job. It's encouraging and it helps us reach other people who may find this type of content or podcast beneficial. So go give us a 5-star review. It means a lot. It does a lot. So we appreciate that. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us for this episode 9. Mm-hmm. We're super excited for episode 10 coming next week. You won't want to miss it. See you next week.